Welcome to the Saints Happy Hour podcast, featuring Dave Cariello, Andrew Juge, Ralph Malbro, and when he decides to show up, Kevin Held. We are the perfect blend of Saints sincerity and stupidity.
Ingram, my BF, took it to the house and finished it off with a nice little spinorama at the end. It was a thing of beauty.
Your pillow talk that evening must have been spectacular.
Amazing. Oh yeah, I put that one on the spank bank.
Should we retry this?
You can't make Ralph do the ad again.
And now, here's your host, Ralph Malbro.
All right, welcome to a Monday, April 1st edition of Saints Happy Hour Podcast. We are joined on the rare occasion. Kevin Held is joining us. Kevin, what did you think of the new open?
Oh, I think it's great. I like the morning DJ air horns that you threw on there at the end.
That's my favorite part.
I think we need a drop for when Kevin joins us, when my wife,
my wife
says your name. I think we need you to say, "I'm here, goddammit," and I need to like drop that sound effect in when you're joining us. So, as always, we are sponsored today by MyBookie. You bet. You win, you get paid. Go to mybookie.com. Use the code HAPPY25. Get 25% extra bonus money, up to $1,000 in $1,000 in free play. Mybookie.com. You win, you bet, you get paid. They're good. They're awesome. If you want to bet online, terms and restrictions apply. All right. So Andrew is in Charleston doing what, I don't know, whatever you do in Charleston. I don't play golf anymore.
Charleston's a love. That's where I met my parents are. Maybe he could take my mom out for a drink.
One of our fine, fine patrons. She has given probably a third of Dave's inheritance to me for the podcast for my drinking and other assorted, things. So I want to talk today about, they had a lot of bad April Fool's jokes today on the Twitters, Saints related. But Andrew did one that the Saints traded Michael Thomas for a second and third round pick. And boy, Kevin, people were mad on the Facebook. He had like 1,000 shares and like 400 comments. People were mad. But I like the Saints April Fool's jokes. I just feel like a lot of them are bad. I feel like you got to be a little bit plausible. Like saying the Saint, like Mark Cuban had bought the Saints and is moving them to San Antonio. Nobody's believing that shit. But like, I feel today would have been the perfect, the best April Fool's joke for today would have been Drew Brees retires because of secret shoulder injury in November. Like, that would have been believable, and I'd have believed it for like a 5 whole seconds.
Yeah, like that would have been a good one. That would have been a good one.
And I don't know why is anybody, you know what day it is the second you wake up in the morning. So from that point forward until you go to sleep that night, I don't know why anybody would give second thought to any type of headline that they read today. It's ridiculous.
Well, you mean you know, I didn't register. It didn't register to me that it was April Fool's right off, you know. And then, but then I saw like ridiculous other NFL, and I was like, oh yeah, it's April Fool's. You mean you can still get people? I think social media makes it harder, obviously. Do you either of you enjoy April Fool's, or is that one of the days you don't like?
I don't really mind it. I think most of the April Fool's-ish type jokes usually fall in the category of not funny or dumb. And as far as like sports writing, I mean, I'm guilty of doing the old April Fool's post. you know, back years ago, back in the days when I was banging. But
it's a true one, multiple levels.
Yes, I know, it's true. So I feel like there's most things have been done already. I mean, like some crazy trade that's been done 50 million times. So like the Michael Thomas thing, that's like what that's every year somebody says, oh, some this they come up with some crazy trade headline that's not true.
Juge did a Jimmy Graham trade 2 years ahead of time. That
yeah, right.
It's like the highest track. But the greatest Saints April Fool's Day joke, and Aunt Juge isn't here, but he's the master. The best one ever was the one he did where Saints signed Roddy White, because it was just. Oh, right. Believable enough, like
no,
it's
the joy. I just the joy from the April Fool's post aren't the fact that like people believe them. Like I think you're an idiot if you believe them. I think the joy from the what's good about them is like you know just delighting in the cleverness and the funny you know the funny of it all. The best ones are the ones where they actually write a story that like has more. You know, jokes in the story. you know, it's not just, it goes beyond just a headline. And it's not meant to necessarily shock people, as many people as possible. It's meant more to be funny. I think that's the good part about the April Fool's silly stuff.
Or if it just would have been making fun of the Falcons blowing a 28-3 lead in the Super Bowl. Like, I don't even know if that's April Fool's joke, but if you could have mixed in that, that would have been magnificent. So, the Saints
We got people in the live.
We got people here.
Wagner Mohalam, he says, greetings from Brazil. We got people listening all the way from Brazil. Henry T. Adams says, what's up, guys? He's excited about the live thing going on tonight. Audit the Fed, he says, hey, what's up? And then Daniel, I think he's asking the question that we're going to get to at some point about Robert Quinn. So.
Yeah, and Zig answer. But I want to tell two stories. Because Saints news, of course, is slow, but Kevin can interject and make fun of me as I go. But this is one of my favorite Saints related. Maybe it's my favorite Saints interaction in Texas that I've had since I've been in a decade, right? So I go to Costco, and they have a guy. He works as a checkout person at Costco. His name is Philip, and he's deaf. But I go to Costco a lot, so I see him. So I'm in the checkout line, and he points at my Saints hat, and he sees my Saints hat, and I know I'm wearing it, and I give him the thumbs up, and he gives me a little like fist bump. But after he does the fist bump, Kevin, he did the most amazing thing ever. He mouthed the words, fuck Goodell, to me. It might be a top five moment of my life.
I tell you what, get him, go back to Costco, put the hat on his head, and ask him to sign fuck Goodell.
Was he... Now wait, was he like deaf from birth? So like he doesn't speak fully.
I don't know him that well. Right?
You know him pretty well. You go to.
I go to Costco. I know his name.
I don't know anybody that works at Costco. How often are you going to Costco?
No, I got a 3-year-old man. I go probably once every 6 weeks.
He's probably burning through diapers and
you
toilet
only
paper
go once
and
every,
paper towels.
Wait, once every 6 weeks? I don't think that's often at all.
Oh,
and you're still making friends with everybody over there, and you remember them.
I'm nice, you know. People see my Saints merch, they point. I want to meet them.
Probably
in bond.
Feel bad for you because of your arm.
Probably too. We're probably like bonded, you know. But it was still awesome, and he looked like David Cross, kinda. So it was kind of like a. Celebrity interaction too, kind of, but no, it was genuinely awesome, and I was like, this made my weekend. It probably made my year. But
I'm dead serious. Go back there and record him doing the sign language saying "fuck Adele."
What do you mean he mouthed it? Like he didn't want to say it too loud to get because he didn't.
No,
want
No, he just
trouble?
Like mouthed it to me, like. You know,
like, were your lips touching each other's?
They could have been. I mean, maybe I was aroused. <It's> awkward. So that was one antidote, and the other thing was, of course, thanks to all the kind people that gave me notes of that me I passed out at the doctor's office last week from giving blood. and yeah, went to an alternate dimension. I asked the nurse how long I was out for, like 5 minutes. She's like, no, asshole, you were out 10 seconds. And then I fell out the chair and my vertigo kicked in and I just vomited in a bucket all the way home. And can I just say,
my wife
was none too pleased that she got a call because they wouldn't release me. Obviously she had to come and pick me up like I was 8 from school. So I was thinking this pretty embarrassing medical thing. Kevin, have you ever had an embarrassing medical thing where somebody had to come scoop you up at the doctor's office or no?
Yeah. yeah. So let's see. So
sounds like you've got a little bit of a long list that you could go down.
Sure.
Here.
Sure. So I've had a few. The easiest one is, you know, I had my I had LASIK eye surgery done, so you know I didn't want to drive myself in the car. I didn't want to risk it. So, I mean, people, you know, I imagine now people can probably do it after leaving the doctor's office with the big goggles on or whatever. But I got this done like shit 17, 18 years ago, so I didn't want to chance it. So I just had somebody bring me. Back home, let's see, when I was a kid, and you know, I can't believe I'm going to say all these, but, you know, I'm 38 going on 39. Fuck it. Oh God, how old was I? I think I was 12.
We don't have any HIPAA laws on this podcast.
No.
well, you're hearing it from the patient directly, so you're not having to ask a doctor. When I was 12 or 13, I had to go into the hospital overnight for surgery because I had what was called a torsion of the testicle.
Oh my God, that sounds horrible.
Yeah, which is basically...
This is getting good. Let me go get some popcorn.
which is basically two blood vessels, I think it's blood vessels, are sort of loose and they end up wrapping around one another. In your sac. So when that happens, it basically feels like you're constantly getting punched in the junk.
Oh my God.
So I spent like I don't even remember how long it was before I had the surgery, but I remember there was one night where I just woke up and I could not go back to sleep because I was just in horrifying pain, and my parents had to take me to the emergency room in the middle of the night.
Oh my God.
That's when they sort
you
of
were
figured
how
out.
Old?
I don't know, 12 or 13.
Oh my God. And like, you had no idea what the hell this pain was. Like, that's gotta be freaky.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
My God, my balls are on fire, and I don't even know why.
No, it's
not. I was thinking he was gonna say that was last week.
No, it wasn't. No, it's not that you feel it in your balls.
I'm still a virgin. How could this happen?
It's that feeling you get when you hit yourself in the dick and you feel that like you want to vomit feeling in your stomach. Like that's the pain is in my stomach. And like the doctors were like, okay, yeah, here's what it is. So like I had to go have surgery and they had to essentially take the blood vessels or whatever it was, untangle it, and then sew them against the inner wall.
Ugh, Jesus. We need to play the ER theme.
So
this podcast certainly didn't go in the direction I thought it was.
I got and thrown out of it.
I got one more if you want.
Okay.
Here we go.
So I had
about Robert Quinn yet?
We have not.
Well, look, I can bail for the Robert Quinn discussion because all I've got to say is, well, the guy was on the Rams and he was, I think, okay with the Rams despite the fact the team sucked. There's my analysis on Robert Quinn. and thus concludes my report on Robert Quinn, a man of many contrasts.
Top shelf.
So when I was like, oh shit, maybe I was early 20s. I think this was at before the LASIK surgery. I, for some reason, had to have a colonoscopy. I don't even remember what the reason was, but I had to have a colonoscopy. My The general doctor like recommended it to me, and I was like, well, great. So I had to have one
you
of my parents.
You are like an 80-year-old man. You got ball problems. You're having a colonoscopy. Do you take your soup at four?
I eat breakfast the night before as well. So I had
gets
to basically
up at five and walks the mall.
Yeah. Oh, dude, I'm looking forward to those days. Just give me those plain white New Balance, and I will trot around the mall to my heart's content. So I have to go to see whatever the hell the doctor is that does that, and I'm in the office, and the doctor shoved a camera up my ass. And what sucks is I was completely awake for that. I think I was given some sort of anesthetic, I believe. I think the worst part of it was that. So the doctor's got the monitor in front of me. So I'm seeing him navigate his way around my intestines or whatever that, or my colon, I guess, and just like checking for things. And there, I remember there being this really hot nurse, and she was in the room at the time. So that happens. And then, the procedure or whatever ends, and like the doctor essentially just hands me a bunch of like towels and napkins and things to like clean myself off. And I'm like, so would you, he asked me, he's like, did you drive here? I said, no. He's like, okay, good. Cause we usually don't recommend people drive.
Here's a bus ticket home, kid.
Because I was kind of like, well, I mean, my legs feel fine. He's like, yeah, but usually what happens is like sometimes there can be a leakage and it might freak people out while they're driving a vehicle. And I was like, all right, that's more than I needed to know. Thank you, and I hope I never see you again. Nothing came of that exam. Like everything seemed to be working, but.
Is leakage a football term or is that a medical term?
I believe there were other words in there, but it's going. I wanted to try and make a Tom Brady deflate joke, but I'm like, do I really say?
You are like a living, breathing episode of Horror Stories from the ER, that show on Discovery Channel.
Right, but I don't feel that way, because if it really was a horror story, the doctor would have like gotten something, like his wedding ring or something would have gotten lost down there.
We found a sailboat in your ass, Held. So
that's me.
That's me. So, we had medical.
Anyway.
So, wow. So here's the thing. It's April. The Saints have no draft picks, so we can't really talk about the draft. But the Saints missed out on Robert Quinn. Segway. So this kind of segues from Kevin's medical horror stories to another. There may get Ziggy Ansah, which he has a medical horror story. His back is like destroyed. It's as bad as Kevin's testicles were at 12. So now that Robert Quinn's gone, Dave, are you okay if the Saints sign Ziggy Ansah and his destroyed back? Because we know you think the Saints medical staff is Dr. Spaceman from 30 Rock.
Well, I sure hope that the Saints knew something maybe that we didn't know, because I'm really disappointed that they didn't get Robert Quinn. I guess it was last week when we talked about what it would take to get him. And I told you it was going to be a 2020 draft pick. It doesn't have to be a 2019 draft pick. The Dolphins are having a fire sale in Miami right now.
They are, definitely.
And that's what it took. It took a sixth round 2020 draft pick. The Saints have that. That's peanuts. To get a guy who could potentially be a game changer on defense in the pass rush department. I don't mean game changer. I mean for the Saints. I think somebody like that could make a big difference for the Saints. Having somebody opposite Cam Jordan that might, you know, as of now, offenses can just kind of key in on Cam Jordan and they don't have to really worry about the other side. It'd be nice to have, you know, a little bit more pressure, a little bit somebody else that they have to at least respect a little bit more. And they signed them, I think it was a 1-year, $9 million contract. So, I mean, you know, it's high, but it's not totally ridiculous. And it's only 1 year. You're not locked in if things don't work out. And
no commitments.
It's one area that the Saints really need help on in, especially with Sheldon Rankin's gone, and the middle is a little makes me a little nervous of the defensive line. And it would have been a big win now thing, but again, this falls in line with Jeff Ireland, Mickey Loomis, the whole just patience. They are being very patient with everything. They don't overspend. They don't overreach. I guess to them, that would have been overreaching.
Here's the thing, and I know, Kevin, you're thankful.
Does
thank
it not seem like
tonight.
A slam dunk to me?
I mean, the only thing I can think of, Kevin, because, Kevin, you know that the Saints have no problem burning draft picks, multiple draft picks, future ones. It doesn't matter. The only thing I can think of for this is that Robert Quinn, he like visited Dallas and he visited the Saints and he like preferred to go to Dallas. So the Saints were like, he really wants to go to Dallas. If he doesn't want to be here, we're not going to do the deal. Like, that's the only reason I can think. Because like 2026, that's like Mickey Loomis. He gave away those probably like shopping today at Bromart.
That's
you know,
chump
like,
change, man.
Yeah.
So Kevin, what was the question?
The question, the question was, do you think the Robert Quinn, like the reason the Saints didn't do it, it wasn't because of they didn't want to give up a sixth round pick. It was something else. Like it wasn't just the draft pick end of it. It had to be more than that.
Is it possible that Dallas could have said, "Hey, if the Dolphins take this trade, here's what we'll pay you."
That too. Yeah.
And then Quinn could have said, "Okay, well, what are the Saints get? Like, you know, maybe he did want to go to Dallas." And then you know the Saints come along and make their offer, and he was probably like, "It's not enough to sway me," and then opted to go to Dallas.
Yeah, I mean they need another pass rush body. I mean, I like Davenport, but I really want Ziggy just so we can say Ziggy all year long so I could play Ziggy Stardust. I mean, the joke potential, Dave, is just astronomical.
Ziggy,
forget about his trick.
Ziggy, 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 ah.
Ziggy is the answer. That's going to be the headline of the podcast. Kevin, your time is almost up, but
yeah.
I want you to do two things. I want you to give me a quick grade of the Saints off season, and I want you to give me a prediction on if you think the Saints will still have all their 2020 picks after this year's draft is completed.
I'll do the last one first. They will not have all their 2020 draft picks. I am convinced they will trade at least two of them. And I guess if I had to grade the offseason, I'll say B-, having paid absolutely minimal attention to it. My immediate gut response was to say C+, but you know, I'm sure there'd be people that'd be like, "Oh, I can't believe Held said C+. How is he not aware that they re-signed so and so, or that they acquired so and so?" So I'm just like, "All right, screw it, just B-. Just put me down for B-. It's the same. It's the same when the season starts. Every fan talks themselves into believing their team's going to go 10-6 and make the playoffs.
Yeah. Well, all right, Kevin, thanks for joining us. We needed you to come on because we got the two new opens, and your medical history about leakage may give us a third one. I will not lie.
All right, thank you.
All right, guy. Thanks for giving us time. All right. Dave, before we get to the questions in the chat room and the death of your favorite new football league, I need to tell people about the Tick Splits. Maybe you want to get in, see your favorite player get in his licks. Clinton Haha Dix, Akeem Hicks, Akeem Nix. Go to ticksplits.com. They have the best seats. You get 5% off if you use the code armchair. It's TIXBLITZ.com. TickSplits, guaranteed seats, guaranteed emotions. That's not bad for not having the script in front of me. I'll give myself a C plus on that one. So Dave, are you sad?
I just kind of winged it. Yeah.
I just kind of winged it. I couldn't find the script.
Clinton Dix. Ha ha.
But Dave, are you sad about the AAF? Is literally they might not finish the year and have a championship game. They might go out of business tomorrow. Are you sad?
Yeah, that is sad. I'm trying to look for the details right now, but I mean, like, what's the story behind that?
I
saw some headlines, but I didn't.
They got the guy who owns the Carolina Hurricanes of the NHL, yeah, like came in and like swooped in, and he was gonna like infuse them with money. But his thing is like, look, if the NFL Players Association doesn't let like bottom roster NFL guys and practice squad guys play in the AAF, like, we're closing it down because we need that for it to be successful or whatever. And the thing that's baffling to me is why does the AAF need the bottom of NFL rosters to be successful? The ratings have been pretty good. Is their business plan just totally garbage? I mean, and the thing is too, Dave, would bottom of the roster Saints players, would that make you more likely to watch? And do you want bottom of the roster Saints players playing in the NFL, AAF, and possibly getting hurt? Like, what is the level of Saints player playing in that league that you would be okay with?
You're talking about like actual Saints players,
like
would play in this league and then go to training camp.
Yeah, you'd play in the league. So what's the level of Saints players that you would be comfortable with playing in the AAF? I would be comfortable with almost no one playing in the AAF for the Saints.
Right. And yeah, what I liked about the AAF was that they had guys like, obviously the Memphis Express. They were the Louisiana team, so they were getting guys from LSU and Tulane or whatever. So you got a chance to see guys like Sherman Beatty, who was the running back for Tulane recently. That's what interests me. And just giving those guys an opportunity to maybe get to train to a training camp, you know, maybe get a training camp invite. I don't see any players ever going for playing two seasons. No way. I mean,
well, and here's the thing:
you would have zero time to get your body to recover and to be healthy. Obviously, I don't ever see any. What NFL owner would let their players do that?
You know, and think of it this way, right? Keith Kirkwood for the Saints. He was a UDFA. He played last year for the Saints. He caught like 15 balls, right? He was nicked up a little. Like, would you want to see him in the AAF supposedly to get better? And hell no. You know, do you want Cameron Tom? Do you want Trey Hendrickson? Like, the level of Saints people that you would want, you don't, I don't want any of those guys playing because you get hurt and then you got to replace them. Like, I just don't see how the Players Association and this league can get this all straightened out by tomorrow, just because players are going to want protection against injury, right? Even bottom of the roster guys. And it's a shame, too, because the thing that I read, Dave, about the AAF was, I haven't watched it as much as you, although I do sort of, when I'm reminded on Twitter or Saturday night, I always sort of click over and watch.
I haven't watched it for the last couple of weekends because I've been pretty busy.
The ratings have been good. The ratings have been good enough to where CBS basically signed the contract with them in the NFL Network. But CBS has the option to say, look, we want to put more games instead of putting them on CBS, our CBS sports channel on cable. We want to put them on the CBS network. The ratings have been good enough to where CBS is putting them on. They're putting a game on Saturday before the Final Four, and they're putting a game on Sunday. Like, the ratings have been good enough to where they want to put more of them on TV. And the thing is, they don't really have any competition, right? All you have to be is higher rating than any other sport besides the NCAA basketball tournament right now. Because, look, baseball just started. No one gives a damn about NBA basketball, right, at this point. So the ratings have been pretty good. I just don't understand why it's collapsing. Andrew said today to me in a text, he said it reminds him of a restaurant that opens and then closes after a month. It means their business plan was just a disaster.
Well, I don't understand. I mean, this guy who's the majority owner, this Dundon guy, he's the majority owner of the league. And he feels like that the league wouldn't survive unless he gets the opportunity to use bottom-level NFL players. Well, what I don't understand is why did he start the league? Using that restaurant analogy, that's like, why did you open the restaurant if you didn't hire the chef yet? Why would you start the league if a league that you want to have bottom level NFL players, if that's what you think it's going to take for the league to a secondary league to survive? Why would you start the league without having permission to use those players? I mean, that makes no sense to me.
It is. It just seems like the whole thing was thrown together in a weird, odd way, right? Maybe the funny thing is, maybe the XFL or the XFL2 or whatever the hell they're going to call it, maybe it will be, you know, we make fun of Vince McMahon a lot, but maybe his league will be the one to make it. But we got some questions in the live stream, Dave, that I see. Who will the Saints pick at 62? I don't really know names, but what position do you think the Saints would pick that would drive people crazy and make them mad?
Like an actual the position, you said.
Yeah, just a position. We don't know names. I ain't paid attention to the draft.
You know what? Honestly, probably an offensive lineman, just because it's not sexy, it's boring. But then again, really, I don't think that there was any position on this roster that's like so, you know, loaded with talent that they
running back or running back or quarterback would freak people out.
Quarterback would just be ridiculous. It's like, okay, you just paid to keep Teddy Bridgewater. Now you're drafting another quarterback in the second round with your only high draft pick. So, I mean, yeah, I guess that's the answer to your question. But even if they drafted a running back, I'd be like, okay, I guess. You know, you lost Mark Ingram. Maybe you need somebody else that you want to compliment. You know, you're not so sure about Latavius Murray, whatever, but... but really, any position, I would say the entire roster is very good at just about every position.
Yeah, I mean,
not great,
I would say I would say they're not going to draft a quarterback. I don't think they would draft a running back. Defensive end, I think, if they don't sign Ziggy Ansah, could be a place where they would go. This is an interesting question that somebody asked me today while I was watching my kid at Chick-fil-A. Should the Saints bring back Darren Sproles?
No. I think those bridges were burned.
I think you can't bring Darren Sproles back unless his wife promises not to put the curse back on us. Right. We can't have Darren Sproles. She's got to make that commitment live on her Facebook or on this show and sign the paper in blood. We can't have her throwing the Compton curse on the Saints.
Darren Sproles' wife blew up the Crescent City Connection and the Huey P. and the Causeway. and the Twin fans.
So, let's see. Foster Moreau. That's a – thoughts on him. It's an LSU player. I know the Saints were really paying attention to him at LSU's Pro Day. And look, the whole the Saints don't draft LSU players, that kind of died last year with Will Clapp. They did draft him. He made the team. So it's possible. Nathan asks, who is the most valuable member of this podcast?
I'm glad you asked this. I saw this question. I was hoping you would ask this because, I mean, obviously, I think we all know the answer to this. We kind of touched on it last week.
Yeah.
When we were talking about how I'm kind of like all over the new openings. We got two new openings, and it's mostly me.
It is,
and it's because of my witty sense of humor, yeah, and my comedic stylings. And I think that obviously points to me being the most valuable member of this podcast. Absolutely.
Well, I think the thing with you, Dave, is your best jokes are, I think, better than anybody else's jokes. Kevin and me are like volume shooters when it comes to joke. We just keep firing them, and every now and then we hit. We're like a 30% shooter. Your jokes, but when you hit them, you're hitting like the 45-foot three-pointer, right?
Well, that's very, very humbling. Very humbling. Thanks, Val.
I think
when we were talking about Kevin's testicle things, I think there was a little back and forth we had there. We might be able to cut that up for a new opening, too.
we had a couple people submit music that we'll have to do a conference call and vote on it. But I think we're gonna keep the new music. But everybody that submitted music, I'm gonna send
that
you.
They
wrote it and did it, and
oh,
we're
so
gonna
we
send them a
own,
we'll send them a thank you, like a custom the magnet. And I got the beer koozie. If you're on the live stream or you're watching this, you're listening to this later, you see the graphic of the beer koozie. That's the beer koozie you can get if you're on Patreon by May 1st. Everybody on Patreon on May 1st, that is at least at the $3.28 level, you get a beer koozie as a thank you. So if you're on Patreon and you donate $3.28, you don't need to do a damn thing. But if you're on Podbean, get over to Patreon by May 1st. They only charge you at the beginning of the month, so you won't be charged twice. Get over there. Get your sweet, sweet beer koozie. It's awesome. Dave did a fantastic job of setting it up. You see it there. It's got the nice gold trim. It's fancy. It's probably the most beautiful and scientifically sound beer koozie in the history of the world, Dave. And I'm not exaggerating that.
So they came out. I see the picture now. Yeah, they came out okay. I never saw the finished product.
Yeah, they did.
Okay, cool.
And Dave slaved over this graphic for like 5 or 6 minutes.
Seconds.
But it's a good beer koozie, man, and it's free. It's just a thank you. So get over to Patreon, and Patreon is better. Here's why: you can download the Patreon app, and they will give you an alert. Like when we do this live stream, it'll tell you, "Hey, the live stream for Saints Happy Hour is going now." When we post when we post a podcast, it'll alert you, and we won't overload you with alerts, which is random shit. It's only going to be when we're doing shows or have like a really big announcement, and it probably won't be more than once a day ever. So do that. It's awesome. Patreon.
Okay, wait. If we have people that are submitting us songs for our podcast, I would like to request if somebody or multiple people, man, I would die if somebody could give us like a 90s sitcom opening, you know, like some sort of like cheesy song with like actual lyrics and shit about each of us, like, a, you know, in the vein of like Full House, Family Matters, TGIF style sitcom opening.
If somebody does a sitcom style opening from the 90s and 80s, we will bump it into the rotation, even if it's horrible, because the worse it is, the better it is.
I will take you out to dinner. I will take you out to lunch. We'll go to lunch. I'll take you to lunch.
So we have a total of 16 people watching tonight, which is great. But the thing is, last week, which was weird, like 180 people listened to the live stream version on YouTube and not the edited version, which was odd. And if you listened tonight, you knew that we will have music. And we'll do, now that I've got this technology where I feel pretty comfortable with it and it actually has worked okay the last 2 weeks, Dave, we'll be doing more live streams. We'll probably do one for the draft, and I'll just do some random ones on Friday night. And we may even do a drunk history live stream, which could be very, very dangerous and exciting for the people.
Can we do this live stream, but like with our webcam so people could actually see us?
The thing that I haven't figured out.
That's asking too much from you, right?
No, the thing that I haven't figured out on that, Dave, I could do it where people could see my face and hear you guys, but I haven't figured out how to integrate if it's like all four of us, right, and stream it out. I hadn't figured out that yet, but I'm working on it.
It's two years from now, guys.
No, but considering my technical ineptitude and the history of this show, as many people will attest with the audio quality, for me to get the live stream up and working in less than a month is pretty strong work out of me, I will say.
Strong to pretty strong, yeah, I would say.
I mean, we had stretches, Dave, before, you know, last, but probably 2 years ago, we had stretches where there was like a good 6 weeks in a row where it sounded like the podcast was at the bottom of a well. Like, I mean, so to actually have the live stream working is a good thing. So, but thanks to everybody for listening. We appreciate it. And I guess we'll run both opens. But Dave, even though you're the star of both, which open do you prefer and which music do you like better?
Well, since I am the star, then that makes me impartial, because either one, I win. It's like my two children. I can't possibly pick a favorite. I love them both equally, just in different ways. I can't possibly. Sophie's Choice, don't make me choose.
I love it. My wife's called the music
my
for
wife.
This podcast.
My wife.
She called the music for this open. She said it sounded like a 1970s detective show with dudes wearing bell bottoms, which it's pretty accurate. So that'll wrap up the show. Andrew, if you are listening to this live, maybe he's one of the 15 people listening in Charleston. If not, we miss you, but he'll be back next week. So for Andrew, who's MIA, for Kevin, who joined us and gave us a very detailed medical history about his nutsack, we appreciate him joining us as always. And for Dave, who is the star of the open and the critical component to this podcast and the person with the highest quality of jokes. So for everybody that was on the live stream, thanks for joining us. Until next week, the bar is closed.